last week we started on this new series called Atmosphere, which is all about the culture that we want to create here at church. That's what this is all about. What kind of culture are we trying to create? And that last week we said this big idea, they're really not big, we all notice it, right? You don't notice an atmosphere until it becomes noticeable, right? You don't notice anything you're driving down the road until you go to a place where somebody ran over a skunk. And it's instantly, oh my goodness, you know, what happened? It's terrible. You don't notice it until it becomes noticeable. And you've all been to places where either it was very noticeable that this organization, you know, this restaurant really cared about customer service, or they didn't. And you knew that, and you noticed that, because the atmosphere all of a sudden became noticeable. What shouldn't have been noticed, what should have been a regular experience, changed, because either you got terrible service or you got great service, and both of those stood out. And we want to create an atmosphere that really is noticeable. It's a noticeable difference apart from any other church or any other organization, that we even do some things differently because of who we are. And last week was this whole idea about risk, taking risks for the sake of the gospel. That means we refuse to play it safe, because eternal life and eternal death is on the line, so we refuse to play it safe. We're going to try some different things, okay? We recognize we have, 2,000 years of church history, and for some reason, the only part we know is about the last 50 years that we try to duplicate over and over again. And we get caught in ruts doing the same thing that most of the time doesn't have enough results. So this morning I'm going to talk about a topic that I've talked about before, because it's something that I really believe in, but I just thought I would start by explaining why excellence is such a big deal to me. Why does it matter? Why do we have to do things well? What does it mean? Okay, and why do you care about it? Because I've heard you talk about Ford Ed, so what? Why do you care about it? I care about it because I have been on the flip side of not doing things well, not giving my best, and here's what I want everybody in the room to know. Getting by always costs something, okay? When you're skating through a part of your life and, I don't need to do it well, and it's okay, and it'll work out, that's going to have a cost somewhere down the line. If you just look at your marriage and say, yeah, we've been married a long time, it works, yeah, right? Oh, wow, woo, that's gonna teach your kids and grandkids, wow, yeah, I want a marriage like that. They're just kind of skating by, right? It's gonna cost you something at some point. It's gonna cost something at some point. When you're just in a part of your life and you're just not, I don't care, I don't give my all anymore, I just get by, be in a work environment and do that, okay? And all of a sudden, the company's gonna look and go, can we get rid of them? They got no heart, they're just here, they're a warm body. Why? Why do we have that? So it always costs us something, but I don't think we recognize that. And see, I got a lesson in this very early on, okay? I'm just going to say it this way. I really didn't care about school, especially in high school. Didn't care, okay? And some of you parents understand this. Your parents tried to get you tried to get your kids to care, okay? My parents did as well. And, I just didn't, okay? And I had all the excuses, right? Our chemistry teacher got the wrong calling in life. He should have gone and made insomnia tapes because he could put anybody to sleep, okay? So you have all the excuses. Teachers are bad, it's awful, the environment's terrible, I hate school, right? There's all the excuses in the book, okay? All the excuses in the book. But what's very clear to me is I didn't try. Hey, my philosophy was, if you didn't have to study for a test and you got a C, that's great, that's awesome. I just saved that whole part I didn't have to go through, okay? And I thought it was fine. Even going to college, thought it was fine, until my sophomore year. And in my sophomore year, I started working in the admissions department, okay? So now you're in the department where you're helping other kids come to college. And our academic dean came down. Dr. Batson was his name. And he said that one is, he said, I want you to know what the academic requirements are to get in and all these different things. And I am telling you what, that was a wake-up call, because he's sitting there in the same room talking about requirements I know I didn't meet, okay? And I'm going, oh, goodness, okay? And he's talking about, if you come in and you're less than this, then you will be put on academic probation, okay? And you might not get to stay. You're going to have to prove yourself. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, man, he's talking about me. He really is. Okay? The only difference was, okay, that my ACT score was above normal. Okay? That's really, you know, one of the factors that kind of bailed me out, okay? Because I asked him. Don't let that mean, Dr. Batson, I got a question. Okay, I did not meet some of those requirements. So why wasn't I put on academic probation? Okay? Now you talk about painful words, because he was just trying to give me a picture of what was going on. He said, when I look at a record like yours, Ed, from high school, I probably can gather you didn't care about being there. Ouch. Yeah, right? Now the academic dean, the college is telling you that all he had to do was look at your record and he knows what you thought about high school, okay? What you thought about your grades, what you thought about giving any type of effort to certain things. He already knows about that because your record has stated that. But we saw your ACT scores. And according to your ACT scores, you know what we knew about you? You didn't try. You didn't give any type of big effort. Okay? So we decided when you came, we would see what you did in your first year. Okay? And he said it was very clear after the first year, you really didn't try in high school. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's not a fun conversation to have. Because all of a sudden, you know what? I realized in that moment that I could have cost myself everything. I could have cost myself a lot because I didn't care. I don't care. Who cares, right? It's high school, right? And this is what we don't get. Every student in here, can you just lean in for a moment, okay? I realize your parents tell you this stuff all the time, okay? Just lean in for a moment, okay? Your high school transcript is the first record somebody has about how much you care about giving any type of effort. It is. A college student will look at that and go, yeah, I don't think so. You might not go to college. I understand that. You might get to your first job. They want to see your transcript, and they're going, they were late 150 times? How on earth do you do that, right? Oh, my goodness. And you know what that's going to tell them? I don't know if I want to hire this person. I don't know if they care. I don't know if they're going to give me any type of effort, because it was clear in high school they didn't give any. They're really not looking at how fantastic. Oh, man, they got all A's, right? They're looking to see effort. And that is the first record of effort that you put out. That's the first record. That's the first record anybody's going to see or anybody's going to know about how much you cared about something you had to go to. And that's going to tell them what happens when they get into this job and it's no longer fun and exciting and they have to. They're probably going to bail. Probably not going to give much effort. I'm probably going to call in sick all the time. I don't know if we want that. See, we don't think that. I didn't think that way either. And you probably don't think that way right now in high school, that what you do matters one single rip. And it does. Because it's a record that somebody's going to look at. And it was a wake-up call for me that moment in my life that I better do my best. Because it will cost me if I don't. It will cost me if I don't. And most of us, if we're just honest, we don't think that way. But it costs us every time we don't give our best. And this is why Scripture sets up priorities, because you can't give your best to everything, but you're giving your best somewhere in something, right? Some of you are incredible in certain areas. In other areas, you just don't care. So there's no effort and there's no push to try to give your best in that moment. But here's the thing, and you cannot get over this just by even reading just some scripture at some point in your life, right? Is that God gave us his best. Can't get over that fact. He gave us his best. He offers his only son. He gives us his best. And if he does that for us, and we recognize that he's rescued and redeemed and saved us, why on earth would we offer him any less than ours? Why on earth would we offer him anything less than that if God, before we even turned, before we were even nice, before we even started going to church, before we even made a decision to follow Jesus, gave us his best, then why wouldn't we give him ours? So I wanted to show you this in a different context. It's the last book of the Old Testament. If you want to turn there, it's the book of Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, just to give you kind of a little background picture so you know where we're stepping into. Okay, so the Israelites at this point, they have gone into captivity, into exile. Nebuchadnezzar came in and wiped them out, right? And some of them went to Babylon, some of them stayed. And so now things have changed over, and the Persians have allowed them to come back. So books like Nehemiah in your Bible. Nehemiah comes back, has to rebuild the wall because it's the first significant thing that they have to do, right? It's the first significant thing. If they do that, everything else will fall into place, okay? And the Israelites, after that point, go right back to some of the same old patterns. But this time, it was a little bit different. It wasn't like some of the days where they worshiped other idols. It became to, what are we going to give God? We're just out of exile. We're trying to rebuild. You know, we're trying to build our houses back, and then we got to rebuild the temple, and there's all this stuff to rebuild because everything's falling apart. What are we going to do when we come to God and offer him our sacrifice? Because that's how they did things then, okay? Offer sacrifice for your sin. What are we going to do? And in this context, you have to see how they treat that moment. And they could have lots of excuses. Listen, God, this is all we got. The house is getting rebuilt. We're trying to rebuild your temple. We're trying. There's just too much going on. We're too busy. And this is the conversation that Malachi has with them about these sacrifices that they're offering. And I just want you to see the language here and how God challenges them and what they are doing when they come and offer their sacrifices. So here it comes. 6 to 14. The Lord of Heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and the respect that I deserve? Where is it? It's not around. Now, why does he say that? Okay? You have shown contempt for my name. This is God challenging him. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name, right? We don't show contempt for your name. We say the right name, okay? And we sing all the songs, right? We're doing it all. What do you mean, okay? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Now, we'll get back to what that means, okay? Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. So when they come, something is going on, okay? When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? Well, yeah, because they memorized the book of Leviticus, okay? They memorized what sacrifices were. And that wasn't what you were supposed to do with sacrifices. And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Okay, try giving gifts like this to your governor and see how pleased he is. It's a great point. Okay, they're coming in other words, they're going, man, we're trying to rebuild. The sheep are our livelihood. Man, that one got attacked by a wolf last night. Let's go take it. Okay, it's about dead anyway. That's what they were doing. And they were justifying it that, hey, we're rebuilding, we've got a lot going on. This is all we got. God, this is all we got. This is all we got for you, okay? And he goes, would you do that for, the governor? So in that case, there was a governor over them that was supposed to make sure things got rebuilt. And would you do that to him? Okay? That's a great point for us to think about. That sometimes we treat God a certain way because he is, we just don't see him. We have an invisible God, so at times we just treat him like he is totally invisible. That he doesn't know what's going on, he doesn't know what's there, and we bring him our crap and hope that he is satisfied with it. And that's what we do, and that's exactly what they were doing. He goes, would you do that for certain people? Right? Special guest wants to come over your house? Nah, kids, we don't have to clean. Who cares, right? We just leave dishes piled up everywhere and not vacuum for 4 weeks. You know, whatever. We don't care. Who cares? We would not do that. None of us in here would ever consider doing that. If you knew somebody was coming, you plan for it, prepare for it, make sure the house is a certain way. That's what we do. But they were just looking and saying, nah, that's God. He'll understand. He's invisible anyway, right? We'll just treat him that way. And we don't think about his presence. He continues. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Asked the Lord of Heaven's armies. Why? Why? He did not give you your best. You're giving him what's left over, what's just around. And then you're like, oh God, isn't this a great sacrifice? No, this is terrible. Why are you doing this? And they just got caught in doing that. And I'm certainly had lots of excuses and they had lots of reasons, but they got caught up in doing that. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices cannot be offered. That's just how far God goes. Can we just shut down the temple? Please, don't go in there. Don't go in there and offer me junk, please. It's insulting to me. It's insulting to you. Don't do that. See, we don't think that way because we don't come to a temple. We don't worship sacrifices. But how often do we give God worthless parts of our lives? Our worthless, our nothing, our leftover. How often do we do that? And God's saying to shut the door. Don't come in. Don't come in and do that to me. I deserve much better from you than to do that. I am not pleased with you, said the Lord of heaven's armies. I will not accept your offerings. But my name, and this is an interesting point, my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. In other words, Israelites, I know you think you're it. You think you're God's people, you're it. No. There are other people who are doing it right in other nations. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. I know you think the only one that has your circumstance, you're not. And other people in the midst of their circumstance and their difficulties are still giving me their best. You are not an isolated incident. You're not a hall pass person because, oh, God will give me a pass because it's bad. No, because there's people all over the world who are doing this right. And they're offering their best and they're giving their best. And they have far less than you to give and to offer to me. For my name is great among the nations. God just goes back to who he is. He's either great and we understand him as great and we worship him as great and we don't. Okay? You cannot say God is great and then you give him nothing. Oh God, you're awesome. You're amazing. Yeah, I have no effort. I have nothing to give you. Sorry. It's all going elsewhere. It's all getting poured out into somewhere else. But you dishonor my name with your actions. By bringing contemptible food, you are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my command, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented at offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as these, asks the Lord. Last thing he says, curses the chief who promised to give a fine ram from a flock, but then sacrifices an effective one to the Lord. For I am the great king, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and my name is feared among the nations. He just goes back to who he is and asks you and I to consider, in light of who he is, what on earth are we offering to him? What on earth are we giving to him? What on earth are we saying is important when we give an effort, when we give something to God? And I ran through that kind of quickly because that's a passage, if you're not careful, you just get caught up in, yeah, but we don't sacrifice and I don't have lambs and you miss the picture of here was what they were supposed to do. And instead of giving their best, they just got by and God just looked at that and said, no. Then shut the temple door. Don't bother. But don't come in and say, you think I'm the great king. You think I'm the great I am. And then you offer me that. And that's what he's doing with them. He's really pushing back against them. Because ultimately what he's saying is this, that God's people were not giving God their best. That's all he's doing. God's people were not giving God their best. And he calls them on it, and he challenges them with all their excuses and everything going on. Stop doing that. And reevaluate yourself and ask, am I giving God my best? Now, let me for a few moments talk about excellence, because I think it just gets totally, totally misunderstood. I think it gets totally misunderstood what we talk about when we talk about doing things well and doing things with excellence. I think it gets miscategorized at times. I think people just miss it. And so I want to just make sure you all understand, what am I talking about? That excellence is not perfectionism or comparison. It's neither one, okay? So it's not, we gotta be perfect. I gotta be perfect. I can learn this song perfect. I can get everything. No, 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 no. It is not perfectionism, and it's not comparison. In other words, we don't sit there and go, well, this church over here sang this song, and they did it way better than us. We're terrible. Did we give God our best? Giving God our best is not comparison. It's really self-awareness. Did I give God my best effort? And all of us know how to answer that question. All of us know how to answer that question. Because either we did or we didn't. So it's not hard. Either I did or I didn't. And if we're not careful, we get in perfectionism and we start thinking we got to hit a certain standard and I got to be perfect all the time. And no, 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 it's not that. And if you're doing that, then you're misunderstanding what God is asking for. He's asking you to give him your best. Not that you're going to be perfect, because none of us are, none of us ever will be, until the point that this life ends and we see Jesus. And we also are not supposed to sit there and compare ourselves to somebody else and go, well, I don't know, I'm not as good as they are when they speak, and I'm not good as they are when they sing, and I'm not good as they are when they do things. It's not comparison. Did I give God my best? Forget about everybody else. Forget about what everybody else is doing. Forget about what everybody else has done. Did I give God my best? So when I talk about excellence, I'm talking about trying to do things well. We're not trying to be perfect, because we never will be, and we're not trying to compare ourselves, okay? I don't call Pastor John Dewey from ICC, okay? I need all your stats so I know how we measure up to you. No, they're a totally different church. Doing totally different things, right? They have their own agenda, they have their own thing. Not fair to sit there and compare with them and say that's the measure of whether we are giving God our best. That excellence is measured in obedience, not talk. You ever done that? You ever sounded like, I'm sure the Israelites did, they sounded, oh, God's awesome. We love God. God's restored us. We're back. They had all sorts of good things to say about God. The problem is obedience isn't measured in talk. It's actually measured in obedience. Excellence is, that's how it's measured. It's not measured in if you sound good, if you make it sound like you want to give your best, if you make it sound a good game of I'm trying. It's measured in obedience. Are you giving God your best? They said, God, you're great, you're awesome, you're the king. No, that's not what your actions are saying, it's what God is saying. That's not what your obedience is telling me. It's telling me quite the opposite. You don't think much about me. You don't think who I am. You are not giving your best. And we all give our best to something or someone. See, this is what I think at times we don't understand. You're all doing this in some area of your life. I have no doubts. Okay? Most people are not just flatline everywhere. Okay? I don't care. I'm trying to get through. Okay? That's not the case everywhere. Some area of your life, you're killing it, okay? You give your best effort, you're ready to go, they've got your best thinking, your best mind forward, your best everything, okay? And in other areas of your life, you're just coasting. This is why God sets up priorities, so you know what that should look like. Because if you do it out of sync, if you do it out of the order that God sets, then something else is going to become the most important in your life, and God's going to get shoved to the side because you don't have time or effort to give him your best. Something or someone is already getting your best. It's already getting your best. And for most people, okay, especially if they have a high-paying one, it's their job. Okay? It's their job. It's where that's all the effort. That's where everything goes. And they just look at you and say, I don't have time for anything else. Okay, they get home at night, they have no time for their family because they're shot. They're there, okay, they're present, you can see them, but they're out of it. They don't have much to give because they've given it all in excellence to their work. And they've made that the priority and they've poured everything into it, so they get home, I got nothing for God, I'm done. And why? It's just you went out of order and you picked something that was further down the line in God's eyes. And you just moved it up to the front. You gave all your effort to it. You had nothing left for anybody else. You are all giving your best to something or to someone. If God isn't at the top of that list, is where everything else is going to break down and fall apart because we end up worshiping what we give our best to. That's why so many people are worshiping their jobs in our days. It's really a worship of money and power and different things, but it's really because everything got out of order. And I'm giving my best here, so ultimately that becomes the focus and the attention of my worship and my heart's direction. So I would just want you to think about that this morning, okay? Because as a church, this is huge, okay? That we understand that we have limited time, limited resources, okay? We can't do everything. What we do, we should do it well, okay? And listen, that means you have to be honest about the commitments that you have. Because here's what normally happens, right? We need volunteers. Oh, my goodness, I'm so busy. Yeah, I can do it, you know. And we might come and give a half-hearted effort because that's all we got. And really, what would have pleased God more is if you didn't sign up. Now, I'm realizing, I'm saying that some of you are freaking out because you're trying to get volunteers. And the pastor just told me I didn't have to sign up, okay? Do you understand what would happen, okay? If I can just explain this. What would happen if you didn't sign up under half-hearted motives? We might have a better idea around here what we should do and shouldn't do. We might have a better idea what we should put more resources to and what we should take resources away from because there's just no effort. It might help us to know what better to do. But isn't it true? Oh, I feel guilty. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to do this. Right? Oh, I feel bad if I don't do it. And that's not the bad part. The bad part is then because you have limited time and resources, you can't come and give much of an effort to it. And let me tell you, it you know, you can tell. It shows up. It's seen. Okay? Whether it doesn't matter what you're working with or what you're doing, it shows, it matters, it's seen. So that's all I would just ask you to think about. Am I giving God my best? Because God deserves our best, because he gave us his best. So, as I said, we want to be a church that gives God our best. That's ultimately what we want to do. And that means when you sign up, when you're a part of something, we want you to do that. And if that's not happening, then please evaluate what's going on. If you're busy somewhere else, you're giving your best somewhere else, and you're not giving your best to God, whatever it might be, please evaluate that. Ask God to help you to see that and to search that and look through this. Because I'm just telling you are all giving your best to somewhere, to someone, to something. And I'm telling you, getting by, whether you're getting by in your marriage, whether you're just getting by, it's going to cost you somewhere. It is. It is going to cost you. And listen, I don't care. You can quote stats to me. Yeah, most people at their job, yeah, most people aren't people who are following Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we need to offer him our best. So we do a little exercise as we end and before we sing this morning. So stand up, okay? This is, so like 2 years ago, it's probably been 2 years ago, I got a chance to go to VCA and do chapel with the kids over there, and I just challenged them in the same thing. And then I ended with having them repeat this, okay? That it's simply, I will give God my best. So I want you to repeat after me, okay? All right? And give this a little bit of effort, okay? You know, pretend you're in Kinnick Stadium, go, I-O-W-A, okay? So, all right? Right? Pretend, at least, okay? It made me feel better, okay? So, I will
give God
my best. That was really good, okay? Yeah, that was really good. One more time, then we're going to pray together. I will
give God
my best.
My best.
Let's show it as we sing together. Let's pray. Father, we